Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, your friendly neighbourhood flower podcast.
This week we bring you an exciting new topic. We are joined by the amazing Lindsay from Muddy Acres Flower Farm in Michigan, who has agreed to school us all in the magical ways of business. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. We've definitely been fangirls of yours for a while. We followed you. I think I followed you for years, probably embarrassing to say how long, but...
You've started now. Carry on.
And we've definitely had a few requests for you to come on the podcast, so we think the listeners are going to be excited to hear we've got you today as well.
Well, now you know it was a journey getting on here. It was a process.
It was. For everyone that's listening, Lindsay was maybe a... I don't want to say reluctant guest, because I think you wanted to, but...
Nervous.
Nervous.
Absolutely. Yes.
We promise to be kind, and you can absolutely give us feedback at the end if we weren't.
Thank you.
That's terrifying.
So last week we had a guest from somewhere completely new. They were from Colorado, and this week you're from Michigan.
Yes.
And like, my geography is poor, especially American geography, but that's in Missouri, isn't it? Michigan.
No, Michigan is a state.
Oh, okay. You see, I thought Michigan was a city.
That is staying in.
Yep, in the Northeast. We are probably 20 miles west of Detroit, surrounded by the Great Lakes.
Okay, and what state is that in?
Michigan.
That's Michigan's a state?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I feel like I need to take some geography lessons. Sarah and I often have this conversation about where places are, so you have to forgive our poor knowledge there.
Oh, I'm sure mine is no better, so.
So you get some quite cold winters up there as well, don't you?
We do. We are expecting our first frost probably in 2-ish weeks.
Okay, so that's the sort of mid, end of October.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's even earlier than we get it here in England.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, I am very excited to mow down the field. It's so sad to say, but...
Freedom.
Yes, at this time of the year, it's almost a relief.
But I think you need that, don't you, as a farmer, to have that bit of downtime. I know everyone misses the flowers, but like, it's such an important part of the cycle, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The cycle for the flowers, the cycle for the grower. Like, we need the rest. We need to recharge, regroup. Absolutely.
And how much space are you going on?
I would say we are probably around an acre. We do have very wide pathways in certain spots just because we have U-picks. So we do have 66 raised beds. It even sounds crazy just to say that. But in between each row is 6 feet. So it is spread out. And then we have a dahlia field. I would say altogether, probably an acre, because we also have a large section of peonies in the back of our property.
Just a humble brag, you know, that's fine. Just get that in there.
It's taken time. Each year we have added a section. I think our first season was 40 by 80, maybe 5 to 6 rows of landscape fabric. And then just each season we added on a chunk.
I love that. I saw you digging up all your turf this last week to make your new little spot. I mean,
absolutely.
I just say just digging up the turf like it's nothing, but.
Well, we have these silage tarps and it kills everything that's underneath. So it's so easy just to take one of those tarps and say, where should we plant more next year? So this year's like, well, why don't we add on to the dahlia patch? So I laid them out next to the dahlias. So those silage tarps are dangerous because it just allows you to create more and more grow space.
That's not a bad thing though, is it?
No, it's not.
And what I really like about you is you've got kind of like a similar background to what we've got, that you had a corporate life before you became a flower farmer. And my job, I work in, it's called compliance, and I'm responsible for making sure my company follow the rules of like the financial services regulator.
Yes.
And you had not the same job, but that same kind of like, you worked for the IRS, didn't you, which is the tax organization.
Correct.
In America. So you've gone from like crazy office life to the absolute opposite.
I did, and I cannot ever imagine going back. I worked in a cubicle. I worked in the small business self-employed department, and I would work complex collection cases. So a lot of taxpayers that didn't want to pay their taxes and would hide assets, or people who accumulated hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes and tried to hide things. It was my job to go find it and collect. So I would show up unannounced at people's doors and introduce myself and basically say, we need to sit down and work together to fix this. So I went from that to hiding in my little sanctuary in my backyard, growing flowers, where everyone is happy, everyone is excited to see me at their door, versus when I was at the IRS, where people did not want to see me. So it was a good change.
But I think it gave you like such a good grounding. I always follow your Muddy Acres Business Monday. And I always see the advice that you give people. I mean, obviously it's not applicable to the UK listeners, but you know, people are asking you like, when should I register as a business? And you're like, now, if you own anything now. I'm not even there yet, but I'm like, start the business now, do it now.
Well, so many people think that they don't need to register until they're making money. But then you miss out on all the time when you're not making money. So you're not deducting all of these expenses you're incurring. And that's when you want to be registered so you can get the tax benefits versus waiting until you're making money so that you can pay them. So there's a big difference.
Yeah, and I think it's tax and that sort of stuff just makes me shiver with excitement,
me too.
To be honest. So.
Makes my belly hurt.
And you did it for a job.
Yes. It does not mean I like paying taxes.
A clear distinction.
Yes.
So how did Muddy Acres get started? What's the background story?
It's kind of a crazy story. My husband and I, Rob, we've always thought we were downtown people. We've always had homes in walking distance to everything. We had just renovated our house, took the roof off, added a second story, gutted it down to the bones. And then a few months after we were done, I would always just check real estate to see what was going on.
Oh, we love a bit of real estate checking. That's like a sick hobby that Sarah and I have.
And you just see what's out there. And I won't forget it. It was a Friday night. And we found a property that was 17 acres. And in Plymouth, it doesn't exist. We were on an itty bitty lot. Our kids would play baseball in the backyard. The ball would go over everybody's fences. So we called our realtor, not that we had one on call, but the one we had used before. And I'm like, you know, could we come see this house? We came the next day. I'm getting goosebumps even just thinking about it. So we opened the door and the current owner had leased out the property to a farmer. So the entire 17 acres was soybeans and this house sat in the middle of it. It was amazing. We put an offer in that day, went home. I bawled my eyes out for 24 hours because my son just had a great year at kindergarten. We made all these new friends and he made all these friends. And I didn't want to have him move schools, even though the school was literally a mile away from the old school. And my husband talked some sense into me and we listed our house the next day. It sold. We moved out here. And it was... there was so much opportunity. And so we got two goats. I lived out my little farm dream. We got
two sheep. That is my dream. The goats are my dream.
And so then we had fainting goats. They were the funniest animals.
Oh my goodness.
Where you just scare, I mean, you wouldn't intentionally scare them, but anything that spooked them, they would just faint. So we had some goats, some sheep. We got turkeys, chickens, another dog. We started to grow flowers and we had a vegetable patch and it's like, I dipped my hand in everything. The flowers stuck. So the kids weren't as interested in the animals as I thought they would be. It ended up being me taking care of them. So that wasn't really a win-win, but the flowers ended up taking off on Facebook, on Marketplace, in the mom to mom groups of the local moms. So the next season, we gave the goats back to who we bought them from. And same with the sheep. We found good homes for them. And we kept the chickens and the dog and the flowers. And here we are today, where I feel like every year it's just evolved into this thing. I don't know what it is. It's like this community, this amazing. It's just, the community is huge. I love it. Love it. Love it. But yeah, so that's how Muddy Acres came about. And I've ran with it, and it's been exciting and awesome.
So you said you grow on 1 acre. Does that mean you've got another 16 acres lurking out there?
Yes.
Well, I feel like you could end up with that pumpkin patch that I know you're dreaming of.
I would love every bit planted. I would love a Christmas tree patch, a pumpkin patch, a sunflower field.
A proper workshop space.
Absolutely.
That barn that you've been looking at down the road. All of it. Yep. We know what you're after.
Well, that's the problem when you have acreage. It's endless opportunity of, but it's also how much energy do you have to give? How much money do you have to spend to create it all? So,
because your husband has a non-flower farming job, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Although I've seen him on that tractor.
He does love his tractor. He does.
And you've got a couple of helpers as well, haven't you? I say helpers, that's downplaying what they do, because I think they're quite integral to you, aren't they?
They're amazing. They're absolutely amazing. And there's no way this farm would be what it is right now without them. Absolutely. And they are like family. We take turns picking up the kids from school. Sometimes they help with meals. Sometimes they help with the animals. It's kitten snuggles every couple hours. So no, I could not do it without them.
Oh, that's so lovely that you've got people with you. Because I think farming can sometimes be a bit of a lonely job, can't it?
Absolutely. So I have them, and I have a million little cats and dogs keep me company. So
and a lot of chickens.
Yes, we have a lot of chickens, and they hate me this year. In the past, I've always let them out to free range and enjoy the beds, but I'm tired of them destroying all the baby flowers. Before, I just said, you can have this patch over here, that patch over there. And finally, this year, we have so many plugs planted in the ground right now. They were churning them all up. So they've been locked up for a good month. So I gave them some pumpkins yesterday, trying to make nice.
And you've got, like, what I noticed was, it's, I don't think you're too far from town, are you? But you've got some wild animals going on.
It's always something. It is always something. Right before I hopped on this call, there was a deer walking across the front yard. We go in spurts with coyotes. I will hear them at night, though. But we've only seen them once this season, which is good.
We don't even have coyotes in this country.
Ugh, be thankful. The sound of their howl in the middle of the night, it sounds like they're right outside your window, and it sounds like there's 30 of them.
The other one that we don't have that I saw you have was the raccoons.
And you know, I've never, ever seen a raccoon on this property until this year. Never, which I find crazy because we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, we've never had an issue with them until this spring.
Imagine they want the chickens.
They wanted them. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And they definitely got some. But I mean, it's part of being in nature.
Part of farm life. And that's it another thing I love, is like how real you keep it. I mean, I bet you got a few messages about the reality.
What is funny, because I didn't even think anything about it, because I document and share the majority of our days, you know, and we were battling these raccoons in the coop. And I didn't know they were raccoons. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how they were getting in. I couldn't figure it out. So we did set the trap. But so I just documented it all, shared it all. And then I checked my DMs later that day, and I'm like, what is all this? But actually, 99% of all the messages were, you know, we understand it's part of farm life. Just maybe two or three that were mean. But it comes with the territory.
And where did the name Muddy Acres come from?
I looked Muddy Acres actually came before the flowers. I remember when we first moved out here, my days were totally different than they used to be. It was dealing with nature outside. Our puppy was getting in a fight with a possum. There is a flock of turkeys? I don't know. There's a group of turkeys out the window. And it's like, you know, I want to share pictures of all this craziness that's happening, but I don't want to bombard my family members and friends with all of this stuff on social media. So I started a page for the farm life, and I literally looked outside our window. The farmer had plowed down the soybeans, and we were just left with 17 acres of mud. It was in the winter, and there was no grass. I mean, just our small yard had grass, but not the entire 17 acres. So it was literally acres of mud, and that's where the name came from.
A very literal name. I like it.
Yes, and then I believe a year later, 2 years later, I added the word flower in there.
So obviously you've got the flower farm that came after the fainting goats and the vegetables. Then yes. How did the business side of Muddy Acres come about?
So when was it? Last December, I was starting a membership program, and it was going to be called Muddy Growers. And we were going to talk all things pinching and harvesting and storing, growing, different flower varieties. It was going to be all things growing. And normally when I start something new, I'm excited, you know, I'm staying up, can't sleep because my mind's going 100 miles an hour, and it wasn't there. And I feel like I knew I needed it to be Muddy Business, but I was scared. So I'll never forget one day, it was in December, sitting in the chair in our bedroom, I like got on stories. I'm like, if I just put it out there, I won't back down. Like, just do it. So I went on stories. My voice was shaking, probably like it is right now. And I'm just like, I am switching Muddy Growers to Muddy Business. 100% where my passion is. And I grew up just surrounded in small businesses with my dad. It is truly what sets my soul on fire. I could talk business all day and night. I love numbers, strategies and methods to grow. So I switched it to Muddy Business. And let me just tell you, it was starting in, I believe it was in 2 weeks. I did not have a syllabus. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. I had no idea if anyone was going to join. I didn't know I was going to deliver content. But I knew it was right. I 100% knew it was what I was supposed to be doing. I need to just take the leap. And I let people know. I let all my followers know, if you join me, it might be a ride. I don't know. We will do it together. And I'm going to do my best to just share everything I can that I've done in the past that has worked. And it worked. So this year, it's been a lot of content creation and getting everything in my brain onto paper into their hands, the members. So, and it's been amazing to watch other growers that are in Muddy Business grow their business, have success this season, implement the little tips and tricks that you've used. And it's just very satisfying to watch. But that's how it started.
Well, I think if you're doing what makes you feel passionate, then it helps with making it successful, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, and I remember I got a DM from someone, and she's like, I don't know if it's like what it's going to be, but if you are so passionate about it that your voice is trembling because you're so excited, I know it's going to be good. I'm like, oh, okay. So yes.
And look at you now, giving crazy, all the business advice.
Crazy, crazy. Who would have ever thought?
I know we said we wouldn't grill you, but I'm going to give you a hard question. If there was a fire, like a metaphorical fire, and you could metaphorically only pick your flowers or Muddy Business, what do you think you'd go for?
Muddy Business, hands down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wasn't expecting that.
I love flowers. But before flowers, so I worked at the IRS, and then I quit the IRS to, on the side, I was, remember eBay? Does it date me like years ago? So I was making wedding invitations and selling them on eBay, and then it turned into Etsy. So I quit the IRS to pursue that, and then grew that business for 5-7 years, sold it right before we moved to the farm. So I went from the IRS to handcrafted invitations on Etsy with a staff of 12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then went to flowers. So I think my passion is business and creativity, creating something with my hands. I love to create beauty. Even if not one person visited this farm, Rob and I would work every weekend to make it beautiful, whether anyone visited or not. Like, we love to create. And then if we can have a business on top of that, even better.
Serial businesswoman.
It's weird to hear, but yeah, I guess so.
So what was your, we're going to go on to business chat now. What do you think was your biggest business challenge?
My biggest challenge. I will say when I started, I think I started on a different foot than a lot of people did. I did not depend on the flowers for anything. I did it for pure enjoyment. And that held true also on social media. I had no reason to pretend to be anybody. I wasn't depending on the flowers for a paycheck or to where I could truly just enjoy the ride. It was pressure free. What was the original question? I got sidetracked.
what was your roadblock?
Yeah, your biggest challenge when you started.
Okay, so I think I just went on a little side tangent.
No, I love this.
My biggest challenge, well, for one is patience. Oh my goodness, flower farming, like the patience you need is insane. Like, you're not, if you put in a change to something that you're doing, you don't see the result tomorrow. Like, you see it next year, and that's hard. That is so hard. Because before, if I created a super cute new wedding invitation, I could list it on Etsy, and I'd see the results within days. Whereas in flowers and with growing, the patience you need are just insane. But also on the upside is it makes you calm down a little bit and not like soak it all in, make good choices versus spur the moment crazy changes. So I definitely struggled with patience. And I also struggled with scalability. How can you take a local business that is niche to your small community and scale it? How can you get it out to more people? And that was a huge challenge where my winters, I would think, like, what can I do? What can I do? How can I scale it bigger? Do we start shipping bouquets? Do we start, what flowers can we ship? So we put in 2,500 peony plants. Because peonies, you can ship across the country. So that was an attempt to scale bigger or to a wider audience. So that is definitely something I struggled with. And also just knowing you are going to fail. Like, you're going to fail a lot. Flowers are going to die. Seedlings are going to die. The chickens are going to wreck half of your flowers. you are going to have bugs. You're going to have disease. And it's just part of the process. And you can't beat it all. You absolutely cannot beat it all. And it's just like with Japanese beetles. Like, I don't even fight them anymore. Last season, I did organza bags and covered them all. I don't deal with it anymore. It's like, I know they have around a 30-40 day lifespan. I just hold still for a month or so. And in a month, they will be gorgeous. The dahlias will be gorgeous because the Japanese beetles are gone. So I don't know. I feel like there's all kinds of challenges. But those are a few of the ones in the beginning.
I definitely agree on the patient. And we've said this before on the podcast, because I think, like, we live in this world of total instant gratification.
Oh, yes. Now.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, don't I just know it? The day job is very much like that in my world. So having that other side of it where, you know, the seedling doesn't pop up immediately, or that dahlia bud is still closed.
And you can't force it. I mean, exactly. There's a few little tricks, but like you can't make it come any quicker.
You can give it a talking to, but that doesn't work either. So one of the things that I loved that you spoke about the other day, I think, you know, we've spoken about how you started your business, but a lot of part of Muddy Business is helping people start their businesses and get that moving. I'm just going to ask you, and then you can explain it to everybody else. Who's Stephanie?
Stephanie she is real to me. She may not be real to you, but she
Hi, Stephanie.
Is, right? She is my ideal customer when I am selling flowers. And everyone, I did not do this in the beginning, but looking back, like, I realized that I was 100% speaking to a specific person, and truly that person was me. But it was the mom who she likely worked outside of the home. She had two or three children. She was struggling to take care of everybody, struggling to get a good, healthy meal on the table for dinner, shuttling their kids to hockey, baseball, soccer, gymnastics, keeping up on their kids' homework, who rarely took time for herself. And our flowers are her treats. They are her form of self-care. And because so many people think they're selling flowers. You are not selling flowers, people. You are not selling flowers. You are selling what the flowers do for your customer. Yes, they are pretty, of course. But I did a question in my stories one day, and I said, you know, how do you feel when you bring home a bouquet of our flowers? And one person said, it makes me feel that I am put together when I see the bouquet of flowers on my mantle. Another person said it's self-care. Another person said, you know, when I'm so busy taking care of everyone else, it's the least I can do to take care of myself. Or, I mean, not one person said that it's the purple dahlia in the middle. it's just so much more than that. So Stephanie is, when you are trying to sell a product, you need to speak to your ideal customer. I am not targeting 21-year-old college students. I'm not targeting 40-year-old men who like to repair vintage cars. I am targeting a very specific person. And when you can speak directly to Stephanie or whoever it is you are selling to, you will connect with them and they will say or think. I mean, it's happened to all of us where you're like, oh my goodness, it's like they're talking right to me, or it's like they can read my mind. And it's like when you feel that or you say that, it works. Like you spoke directly to that person and connections are happening. So I highly recommend anyone who is selling anything to create an avatar or a sample person, give them a name and describe her in detail and talk directly to her. Because even in many of my posts, I will talk about parenting or my son is in seventh grade this year and I feel like just things are shifting with him. He's entering, you know, the next phase. And so I posed the question on Facebook to all the other moms that are in that same boat, going through the same transition. In you can just connect on so much deeper level. So yeah, Stephanie is my ideal customer. And with Muddy Business, it's a totally different avatar or ideal customer. And I will speak to her in ways talking about growing techniques or struggles out in the garden, or when you're sitting on the couch at 7 p.m. thinking to yourself, what am I going to post tonight? I have no idea what to share on Facebook or Instagram. But so I will talk directly to that person. It's so important to have that ideal customer because that way you can just talk right to her.
I found that like an absolute gem of a piece of information, because I think too often you get wrapped up in I've got all these flowers, I need to sell them, like, I'm just going to try and sell them. So you try and talk to everybody about how to sell them rather than,
and then you talk to no one because you're talking to everyone.
And I think, you know, you've obviously got Stephanie, but, you know, for some people it'll be Stephanie the florist rather than Stephanie the stay-at-home mum, won't it? So it's mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be a person. It could be a business person as well, couldn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely,
you know?
Yep.
Well, and not to be too meta, because this is a bit meta, but obviously we're talking about your business course, and I'd assume you didn't mention the name of the avatar for your business course, but I'd imagine, let's call her Julia.
I like
there
Julia.
Are probably lots of Julias in this podcast audience, and that's why you're here.
Well, the funny thing you should say that is I did not think that at first, and then I'm like, oh, but because... As I'm sure most of my audience knows, I'm terrified to do a podcast or speak in public. I had a UPIC here earlier this season, and it was like 10, 15 people. And then when I realized I had to give the directions to these 15 people, like my face turned beet red. I got the butterflies. So the struggle is real. But I did realize after a while, I'm like, muddy business helps growers. Let me just back up a little bit here. So I see so often people who are growing beautiful flowers. Mm-hmm. They make amazing arrangements. We have a Facebook group called Cut Flowers 101.
We're there already.
Yay. There's so many people sharing these gorgeous, gorgeous flowers and arrangements. They're like, but I'm scared. Like to put myself out there, or I don't know how to sell it, or mm-hmm. I'm just giving them away to friends and family. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't let it be out of fear that you're not getting out there, or you're not just putting that quick little message on Facebook, or that mm-hmm. you're not charging a reasonable fee, if a fee at all. That is like money business also started from there, like seeing so much of this where it's like you don't know what step to take next. So you can grow the beautiful flowers. You love it. You are enjoying the process, but then you become stuck and don't know how to take it to the next level. And that is where money business comes in, where it will walk you through all the steps of getting that business set up, how to use your personal brand to get out there and talk. And at the end of the day, a lot of truly what all of us just need is a kick in the butt, like a little boost off the ledge. Same with Nicole, like what we were talking about a minute ago, to get on this podcast. I read my DMs and it was a Friday or Saturday night. I'd had maybe one or two drinks. And I'm like, oh, you know, reach back to me in a week or two. I'm sure I'll say yes.
I was
just
like,
stay,
I've hooked
stay
her.
On me.
I've hooked her.
Yes, because I know I need to do it. And so then like a few days later during the week, you had followed up. And I'm like, oh gosh, what did I say yes to on Friday night? But it's the same thing. It's that kick in the butt of mm-hmm. just do it. Just put yourself out there, because we're so, at the end of the day, we're all afraid of failure. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what it boils down to, and making mistakes and not being perfect. But we often find that once we put ourselves out there, we are met with support, we are met with mm-hmm. kudos and all the good stuff. So at the end of the day, like, I feel like many of us, including myself, just need that little oomph, that little push.
And it is quite a good community, isn't it? The flower growing community. People are generally
amazing.
And there's not too many meanies out there. And I find that by and large, people just love flowers, don't they? And you know what you were saying about how do people feel when they get flowers? And I think from all the things you said, it's like a happiness, a joyful thing. So, you know, you can't be mean and joyful.
No, and flowers certainly don't make you feel bad. So
they do not.
No.
I want to steal just a few more nuggets from you. Obviously not your entire course, but just like a few more.
Sure.
And I wanted just sort of get your opinion on what would be your top tips for someone, say, in their sort of first year, just to make sure they're future-proofing their new flowery business.
Oh, goodness, I could say a million things. number one, take action. For the love of goodness, you have to take action. You can't just sit out in wishy-washyville of teeter-tottering. Just make a decision. I read a quote the other day. I think I was reading Marie Forleo's book, and it said, you find clarity through action. And it applies to everything, absolutely everything. If you don't know whether status can be started in the fall or in the early spring, try both. If you don't know if snapdragons can go unnetted or unsupported, try a small patch without support and see what happens. I get so many questions about growing topics, and so you have to try. And even like Jackie, who works here at Muddy Acres, she grows flowers as well. So a lot of us will pinch our dahlias, which basically means just cutting off the top of it in the spring to create branching. She took the tops that she cut off her dahlias and stuck them in the ground. And she has a stinking dahlia plant now from the tops. And it's like, exactly. But you would never know unless you try. Like, just take action and put yourself out there and do the thing. That is definitely a huge piece of advice. And then the other one is give yourself some grace. My goodness, like, you are battling nature, you are battling the elements, you are battling pests, you are battling so many things. Someone messaged yesterday, Muddy Business Monday, someone asked or said something about it's being the end of the season. Do you ever just feel like you want to give up? Who doesn't feel like they want to give up on a million things? You know, I mean, we all get defeated. We all get exhausted and tired and want to throw in the towel, you know, and we all have so many battles every day that we're trying to win or get through. And my response was, it's like one out of five businesses fail within the first 2 years, one out of five. All five of those businesses have those thoughts. All five of those business owners feel defeated at times. And to not be the one that quits, you have to get back up and keep going. The more successful you are, it simply means you have failed more and learned more. Because every time you, if you want to call it a fail, that's fine. But you're learning. You are 100% learning. From every mistake or failure that happens in the garden. So, and like, I'm just looking out in the field right now and seeing like what worked and didn't work. Do you want to call it a failure? Sure, you can. But I learn next season what I can or can't do. Or same with like a flower subscription or your flower stand. Like, you learn through making mistakes. Like, I learned to not have the flower stand open in the afternoon because it's too hot and the flowers wilt. So you have it open in the mornings or in the evenings, or so you will go through so many wins and losses and make the losses count, learn from them, move along and keep going.
I think we should rename it, not failings, we should rename them learnings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Failure has such like a bad vibe around the word, but truly more good comes from a mistake or failure than from a win. So
I mean, who hasn't killed a bunch of seedlings before?
Oh my goodness,
who
hasn't
had
of them?
Yeah, who hasn't had wonky snapdragons, right? Who hasn't had dahlias that have snapped because we didn't stake them properly?
Absolutely.
Who hasn't cried over those snap dahlias?
Yes, I have dahlias laying on the ground right now.
Oh yeah, I said I had two that came over in the storm, and I said they're just going to have to grow horizontally for the last few weeks.
Yep,
they're still growing. They're just horizontal now.
Flowers.
That's just how it is now.
So that's what I would. I mean, you have to just keep going, stay positive, learn from your mistakes. It's a journey. You're not in it to win it from day one. It's a journey. So embrace the learning curve of growing flowers.
Well, and I think talking of learning and going for a more like literal piece of advice, I guess, for someone in their first year, today is the 5th And yesterday we experienced the great social media outage, for reference.
Oh, wow. This Instagram is your other top down. Tip that I love. Get a mailing
Instagram
list.
Went down.
Get a mailing list. That's what I said to Sarah yesterday. I said, we should be taking Lindsay's advice and getting a mailing list.
Hey, we have a mailing list.
It's 100% true because
I know, but we've got
Instagram
like three
out.
People on our mailing list, I think.
That is a lie. Nicole, I've worked very hard on our mailing list and lots of the listeners are on our mailing list, so don't feed them.
Oh, yeah. You kept like it from me.
200 people.
Sign up to our mailing list, everyone, and Lindsay's. I mean, I can't even buy from you being here, but I'm on your mailing list, Lindsay, because I love to.
Oh, you
like,
are.
I am, because I find it so interesting to see how other people do things, how they talk mm-hmm. to people and yep. the types of things they include. Let's call it market research.
Yes. And the best piece of advice, because when I write my own emails, and when I sit down to write, it's like, oh gosh, like, what do I say? And how should I say it? What's too personal? What's not personal enough? And the best piece of advice I've heard, just act like you're talking to your best friends and write mm-hmm. it like you're talking to that one friend. So it comes across as authentic and you. Mm-hmm. And if people don't like that I say y'all and use it in my writing, too bad.
I love it.
That's me. It's me.
And like that kind of links into that other piece of advice that I've seen you give more than once about like your brand. And I think when people hear the phrase brand, they think about like a logo and colors yes. and that type of thing. But it's more than that, isn't it?
It's so much more than that. So much more than that. And we have a logo and we haven't really used it at all this year. We've been so bad about putting logo tags on our bouquets. I think we did it maybe 10 times and that's so not good. But like I said before, it's a journey. Next year we'll add them. But yes, I agree with you. Most people think it's a logo or your colors of your business, but your brand, how do I put this in words? It is how you make a customer feel mm-hmm. when they experience your company or your social media or your product. So it does involve logos and colors and all of that. It's so much more. And there is no better person to represent your brand than you. Your personality, your funny stories, and your personal story of how you got to where you are, your struggles, your wins. Your personal brand makes your business.
Because I know that when I come to your stories, there's going to be a bit of mousse in there. There's yes. going to be a bit of kitchen renovation. It's looking
probably
good, by the way.
Probably a chicken.
And there's going to be some chicken stuff. But there's going to be the flowers yep. as well. And then there's going to be a bit of boys' hockey.
Yes.
And there's going to be a bit of something else. You know, it's you know what you're getting. And I think to me, that's like, the reliability, the familiarity of
right.
it makes me want to continue it.
There's a connection there.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you feel like you know me because I've made our business personal. It is personal to me. I mean, Muddy Acres, it's not just flowers. I mean, like when we have you picks, people come and they're like, oh, is Moose and Nala and Remy going to be out and the kittens are here? I'm like, how do you know all this stuff about me? I mean, I know how they know, but it's so funny to hear that.
Okay.
Or they'll
yeah.
say, you know, like, I feel like I just know you. Can I give you a hug? And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just, your personal brand is a powerful thing. And so many of us put it on the back burner and try to hide it. Instead mm-hmm. of embracing it. And you might be thinking, but I'm boring. I'm nothing exciting. Well, let me tell y'all something. I don't leave my house except to pick up my kids from school. I wear pajamas all day, every day. I'm terrified to talk to groups of people. Like, so would you consider me boring? Probably, but you mm-hmm. can utilize your brand, absolutely, and share your fears, because that's how you connect with other people, is by sharing authentically who you are.
I don't think perfection is that interesting.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
That links quite well, the whole idea of branding, to because lots of the queries I see are sort of saying, you know, flower farming is getting bigger. There are more and more people, you know, perhaps someone might be in the area where there's already a flower farmer. Mm-hmm. And I think branding has a huge play in succeeding in despite of that, because
it's everything.
Yeah. Yes. Because, and the example I always say to people is when you go to the supermarket, how many types of bread are there? How big is the bread aisle?
Yeah,
all of those bread
breads.
Companies are yes. still fine, but you yes. go to them for their branding. I think I might have got that from you, actually, that specific analogy.
But it applies to everything, like your restaurants, your mm-hmm. clothing, your, I mean, it applies to everything. There's, and people are so worried about competition. There's competition in everything. Everywhere. And there is going to be someone out there who's better, who's a better marketer, who grows better flowers, who has taller stem lengths, who is better at design. It doesn't matter, because that's not what you're selling. You're selling your personal brand, and that is what will set you apart from the competition. We have a flower farm two doors down. My neighbor, she recently moved to Nashville. She also had a flower farm. So three houses in a row, we all had mm-hmm. grown sunflowers. And then around the corner, maybe a mile, there's another one. Jackie sells flowers. So if you look at all the competition, you will run yourself ragged in your mind. Mm-hmm. And I used to do it when I sold wedding invitations. I would get on Etsy. When I first started on there, there was maybe 10, 20 pages of wedding invitations. Now there's thousands. But as mm-hmm. soon as I would start scrolling and looking at all these beautiful invitations, it's like imposter syndrome sets in huge, you know, like, oh, that one's way better than mine. Look how pretty that one is. That one's amazing. So stay in your own lane. Stop worrying about what everyone else is doing and focus mm-hmm. on your business.
That is great advice. And what is one tangible thing everyone listening could do to improve their branding?
Show up. Just yeah. simply show up. Be consistent mm-hmm. and show up. That's a huge difference when you look at one person's success versus another. Like, do you show up when you don't want to? Do you show up when you're tired? Do you take mm-hmm. the winter off because you don't have any flowers? Because if you're just showing up when you're selling something, good luck. Because if you're just coming to me when you want my money, that doesn't sit right. So you have to show up consistently. And yes, that means in the winter when there's no flowers, it's when you don't feel well. I mean, I'm not saying don't take breaks. That's not what I'm saying. And to self-care and all of that, but you have to.
You can't take 6 months off.
No, no. Yes, the business is seasonal, but I find that we have the most growth in our following and customer base in the winter, in the off season, because that's when mm-hmm. I have the time to write the better posts and to be better about connecting in DMs and all of that. So use that time for the good instead of just literally taking the winter off.
So what we normally do at the end of like the podcast is ask you for one piece of advice, but we've just like plugged you for advice for the best part of 45 minutes. I don't think we've got any more that we can get from you.
Yeah. I think you could be right there.
I think you've just really given the listeners so much food for thought about how they're doing things, because I think a lot of people who listen to us are all about like what you were saying when you were thinking about starting Monday business, where's the pinching, what gets pinched, what gets harvested,
right.
and all that stuff's important, right?
Yep.
But
absolutely,
it's thinking beyond that. So hopefully this has given everyone a lot of food for thought.
Could we go the opposite way? And instead of asking you for one piece of advice after you've literally given us 30, a random question?
Yeah.
What do you listen to while you're working in the farm? Because we haven't really covered that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, it depends on the mood. Mm-hmm. Usually Chris Stapleton radio on Pandora.
Yes. I love
nice. All his yeah. music.
Nice.
And sometimes it's Rihanna radio. Sometimes it's Beastie Boys radio. It just depends on the mood, the day, the weather. But it is on all the time. And it's funny you should ask that, because I've felt bad this season, because normally I share a ton of videos and stories of me doing the actual work and like a time lapse. This season, I haven't.
All you've done is sit around petting those new kittens, I think.
Well, that's very easy to do. What is like this year, like I need my music when I work. And so I will skip the video so that I can have the music to keep going. So, but yes, we have plenty of animals all over the place that are so distracting, but I love it.
And if our listeners want to find out more about Muddy Business or just Muddy Acres in general, do you want to tell them where they can find you?
We are Muddy Acres Flower Farm on everything. Our website, Instagram, Facebook. Muddy Business will launch the first week of November.
Oh, so this is very timely.
It is timely. And that's no problem if we miss it. It's no big deal.
No, but you'd be right on time for it.
Okay, good. It's the first week of November, and it's a 6-month course. And I'm excited.
Well, we wish you well with it. Sounds like it's going to be amazing.
Thank you. I hope so.
Perfect. Are there still slots open? Just asking for a friend.
There are slots open, yes. Mm. Yes, there are. Okay, perfect. Doors are closed until the first, so...
Oh, it only opens for sales on the first.
Yeah, it's only open that first week. Yep.
Ah, okay.
And then we will start the first week of January. We will start with the content. Perfect. We'll give everyone the holidays to put the field to bed and handle the holidays, and then we'll get to work.
Will they, this mysterious friend, will they, is it on your website, on your Instagram, in your bio? Where's the easiest place to find out where to sign up?
For Muddy Business, muddybschool.com. Mm-hmm. It has all the information.
Very useful.
I try to make it all very easy to remember.
Well, I think this has been like one of the most informative podcasts we've done. And what I actually can't believe is that we haven't spoken about actual flowers.
We haven't.
We didn't even ask you like what your favorite flower was. Or is that asking you to pick a favorite child?
I've been thinking about it lately because I'm asked it a lot. And I mean, I'm sure with you guys as well, it changes every year all the time. Mm-hmm. But I have re-fallen in love with Buplerum this season. I absolutely love it. Oh. It looks good in every single bouquet. Mm-hmm. Next season, I'm going to plant so many successions of it so that we have a continuous harvest of it. But I grew a new one this year called Mahogany Splendor. And right now, I'm loving it. It is like a burgundy wine foliage that looks good in all the fall bouquets. So I'm loving that right now. And what else? I switched to primarily all ball dahlias this year also, which for my business and for my preference was a huge change. And I love all the ball dahlias. So that's working out well.
I think it's almost controversial in a world of cafe au lait lovers to just say you're going for the ball dahlias. Yes. But they're the most reliable, aren't they?
Well, and that's the thing. Better vase life. They don't get squished in the buckets. They're easier to arrange with. And I love their perfect symmetry on every flower. Love
they're
it.
They're mesmerizing.
Truly, yes. So we have 2 cafe au lait plants. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I do not regret the decision either. So, but we don't sell to florists a lot. So
there's always next year if you wanted more.
You can change it and like just change it up next season. If you grew too much of this, grow less of it next year. So,
well, it's been lovely talking to you today, Lindsay. We've really enjoyed this and
information overload.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast. And we hope we weren't too mean.
I feel like I went off in a million directions and tangents. And
No, we loved it.
Welcome to Let's Grow Girls.
Yeah, welcome to Let's Grow Girls, the home of the tangent.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you again, and we will see you on Instagram.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.